there we are, ladies and gentlemen. I almost sat on the cord there. I had to pick it out of my butt almost, huh? How about that? You see that? You see that cord back there? It's like, okay, can I make it before? No, I couldn't make it before show. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's great to have you with us. It is Friday once again here, of course, at the Red Ice HQ. It is January 31st, 2020. It's great to have you with us. I'm Henrik, of course, and redice.tv/live might be one of the places you tune in live, or dlive.tv/redicetv. We're also multi-streaming or broadcasting to Twitter, our Twitter account, Red Ice TV, and also to vk.com. Hello to everyone over there joining us. We usually have about, what, anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 views on the VK live streams after these are done. So, you know, we do have a bunch of people tuning in over there as well. So, shout out to you guys. All right, Lana couldn't join us today, but we're very happy to have Jason Kuhn back on the show with us. Back on Flashback Friday. I think it's the second time you're co-hosting with us, Jason.
Yes, I think so. I definitely at least one time. So it's magnificent to be here. And I want everybody to know, while, you know, Lana's not going to be present, I'm not as pretty as she is, I am also not as witty either. So you're going to have something less than Lana.
But you're beating her on the eloquence, though. Yeah, I love your usage of new words, and I can always learn new etymology and things from you. You know, I was like, what the hell does that mean? I go look it up. Like, oh, that's a good word to remember. So, you know, you definitely have some strength. So we're very happy to have you here, Jason, today. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we have a bunch of stories to go through. I don't know if there's any house cleaning, if you will, to take care of today. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, as usual, just shout out to everybody out there for joining us at the member section, of course, redicemembers.com. Special thanks to all our members. You make this and so many other things that we do possible. So we do tip our hat to you guys and gals. We do appreciate it. Again, if there's another way you can help us is through a super chat, of course, DLive chat. That's a great way. They do have lemons over there. You can donate lemons and ice cream and ninja guineas and diamonds and all kinds of stuff. That's one good way. I'll keep an eye on the chat here during the show, of course. I do have the Cash app as well, as you can see, cash.me/redicemembers. And then through donorbox.org/red-ice as well. That's a good way as well. I'll keep these up here and I'll try to bring those in as soon as possible. I saw before we just went live here from Conrad K. We got a message on the Cash app. He sent me one and he thought I had issues, I guess, with it first. And so he sent another one. So I got two from you, so you're aware of that. And he said, check out the band Heilung, Iron Age Music Recreated. I've actually heard some of that. It's actually really good. So thank you for that message, Conrad. I was meaning to play a little bit more tracks, both at the end of Flashback Fridays and some of the other shows we do as well. So that's a good tip. Thank you, man. I do appreciate that. DB Cooper, I see, on the DLive chat, sent a diamond. It says, Jason and Henrik, two heroes in our cause. Thank you so much, DB Cooper. Appreciate that. Sticks Rectum Jammer 666 sends a diamond and says, Juju come. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That's that's funny. Katie Brexit Bear sends a diamond as well and says, happy Brexit Day, folks. Time for Frexit. Yeah, and Swexit and all kinds of things. And of course, Jason, that's one of the first stories we're actually going to cover here right now. It is Brexit Day, right? So congratulations to all our English audience out there, the Brits, including, of course, the Northern Irish people, the Scottish people, the Wales people, and all those wonderful people over on the island, the lucky island. What did you, have you followed Brexit at all through, what is it, almost 2 years now since, you know, vote up till this point?
Yeah, I have. And it's been interesting, the ride, if you will, from our people, our brothers and sisters over on the lovely isle over there, and what they wanted and what they were going to actually get. These were things that were interesting. And I was really curious, especially not being there, able to read the news on a regular basis, seeing the people out in the streets, having conversations with them about how they feel. But seeing the vote come through and seeing so many folks, irrespective of all of this anti-white brainwashing from the news and entertainment media to tell folks how the end of the world was going to, you know, cats and dogs will rain from the sky and the world will end if we were to leave the European Union. And yet the people still went out and voted for this. And it's a real testament to a couple of important elements of human nature. I think, in particular, our nature is that we want to be self-governing. And there's something that we need to remember as a people, and that is that the bigger the government is, the smaller you are. So you want that government to be closer to home. And there are some positives we can talk about, some negatives we can talk about as we go through some of these stories pertaining to Brexit today. And I guess it's the official that it's official now that the UK is breaking off but not technically, I guess they don't leave until what, the end of the year?
This is it, right? Yeah, this is the discussion. And of course, it's a symbolic divorcing that's happening today, but it's going to be, we have a couple of clips actually, we can check that out, that breaks down some of the negative aspects to what is going to happen now to the Brits in terms of their participation in the economic zone, and then I think the border agreement, it's still going to be effect. We have a couple of things that goes through it, but I found this video is pretty good from BBC. They do occasionally do things which are not just total fake news and propaganda, but it just explains a little bit how we got to the point that we did. Just kind of a little recap, really, of the two last years. So it's the speediest way to get you guys up to speed in case you haven't been following Brexit at all. So check this out here.
The British people have spoken, and the answer is we're out.
The country requires fresh leadership.
Brexit means Brexit. A general election.
You're joking. Not another one?
We cannot see any way at all that the Conservatives can get to the 3-2-6 mark. And we think it's pretty clear that there is going to be a hung parliament.
I believe our best days lie ahead of us.
Order! The no's have it. The no's have it. The no's have it.
The no's have it.
Flexible extension. Do not waste this time.
I will shortly leave the job.
I have accepted.
Suspend Parliament.
Not acceptable.
Unlawful.
They do see a pathway.
We will pause this legislation.
The Prime Minister, who said last month that he'd rather die in a ditch.
I'd rather be dead in a ditch.
than ask for another Brexit delay, has now written to the European Council President accepting a three-month
extension.
We're going to
delay it. We're going to go out there with the biggest campaign this party has ever mounted.
Get Brexit done.
9 years to fund our NHS.
A little bit patronising.
The mess of Brexit.
Boris Johnson's deal is unacceptable.
I don't even know where that rumour started.
Our exit poll is suggesting that there will be a Conservative majority.
We don't give up.
I wish you well.
The ayes have it. Yeah!
Royal assent. European Union Withdrawal Agreement Act 2020.
And there it is. Yep, so it is happening, albeit a very symbolic one, as we just said. There's a couple of good clips in this. But first, I thought we could take a look at Farage's kind of farewell address to the European Union as well, because it really is his success to a certain extent, right? I mean, UKIP and they popularized this. I even spoke, I had Farage on the show 2009, I think, was it, or something like that. Very courteous gentleman. And I know a lot of people have questions about him. Is he legit and whatever? He's a son, I think, of a banker and something like that. But in terms of this question of getting Britain to be independent, he certainly is genuine. And he's done a good job, according to what I can tell, anyway. What do you think of Farage, Jason?
Well, we have the one master principle in going free. So as long as he's doing something that either directly or indirectly serves white well-being, he's a great guy. The moment he stops doing something that serves white well-being, well, he is Lucifer himself. And we want him to be out of the scene as quickly as possible. So we're happy when it's when he's doing something that benefits us. This is how we really have to be about all of our...
I agree. It's, as long as it benefits in the end, that's absolutely right. And of course, when they do move in the right direction, we praise that, and then we criticize them when they move in the wrong direction. And sometimes you don't get full throttle with everybody. You get a little bit of the way on this front, and then, you know, that's just what it is. Here it is, folks. Let's check it out. Nigel Farage, this is here from actually almost about 2 days ago now, but it's a little controversy about the flags and stuff. Check this out here.
Yes.
To the road, a 47-year political experiment that the British, frankly, have never been very happy with. My mother and father signed up to a common market, not to a political union, not to flags, anthems, presidents, and now you even want your own army. For me, it's been 27 years of campaigning and over 20 years here in this parliament. I'm not particularly happy with the agreement we're being asked to vote on tonight, but Boris has been remarkably bold in the last few months, and Ms. von der Leyen, he's made it clear, he's promised us there'll be no level playing field. And on that basis, I wish him every success in the next round of negotiations. I really do. But the most significant point is this. What happens at 11 p.m. this Friday, the 31st of January, 2020, marks the point of no return.
We're 45 minutes away from that right now, by the way.
We are never coming back, and the rest, frankly, is detail. We're going, we will be gone. And that should be the summit of my own political ambitions. I walked in here, as I've said before, you all thought it was terribly funny. You stopped laughing in 2016. But my view has changed of Europe since I joined. In 2005, I saw the constitution that had been drafted by Giscard and others. I saw it rejected by the French in a referendum. I saw it rejected by the Dutch in a referendum. And I saw you in these institutions ignore them, bring it back as the Lisbon Treaty, and boast you could ram it through without there being referendums. Well, the Irish did have a vote and did say no and were forced to vote again. You're very good at making people vote again, but what we've proved is the British are too big to bully, thank goodness. So I became an outright opponent of the entire European project. I want Brexit to start a debate across the rest of Europe. What do we want from Europe? If we want trade, friendship, cooperation, reciprocity, we don't need a European Commission. We don't need a European court. We don't need these institutions and all of this power. And I can promise you, both in UKIP and indeed in the Brexit Party, we love Europe. We just hate the European Union. It's as simple as that.
I totally agree. Yeah.
So I'm hoping this begins the end of this project. It's a bad project. It isn't just undemocratic, it's anti-democratic, and it puts in that front row. It gives people power without accountability. People who cannot be held to account by the electorate. And that is an unacceptable structure. Indeed, there's an historic battle going on now across the West, in Europe, America, and elsewhere. It is globalism against populism. And you may loathe populism.
Man. Nationalism.
But I tell you a funny thing, it's becoming very popular. And it has great benefits. No more financial contributions. No more European Court of Justice. No more common fisheries policy. No more being talked down to. No more being bullied. No more Guy Verhofstadt. I mean, what's not to like? I know you're going to miss us. I know you want to ban our national flags, but we're going to wave you goodbye.
There we go.
And we'll look forward in the future to working with you as sovereign.
The muted
if
is
you
Mike
disobey
there.
The rules, you get cut off. Could we please remove the flags?
Remove the flags.
Mr.
Farage.
Look at her.
Remove the flags, please. That's
where's the ruler? She wants the ruler so she can smack their knuckles.
Yeah, exactly. Discipline this man.
Yeah. Yeah, they shut off all their mics so you can't. Well, they're terribly white, too. So
yeah, that's exactly.
Awfully offensive.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm really... Please sit down, resume your seats, put your flags away, you're leaving, and take them with you if you are leaving now.
Jeez, man. Oh, man. Oh, look at this. That guy for Hofstadt is a...
Can I just say...
The venom that comes out of this anti-white wench.
Amazing.
Look
in the
at her.
Last contribution.
All right, it stops there. But yeah, a little bit of a controversy around that. But again, I mean, all Farage is saying there is correct. I mean, no one has really, in terms of literature and newspaper articles and stuff, accumulatively speaking, the UK, England, first and foremost, have done the major works when it comes to exposing the European Union. The misabuse of power, this issue with the fact that it's the Commission, which is an unelected bureaucratic, just, order, which you can't reach. They just decide. And then, of course, whatever they decide goes to the parliament. And there we have some elected officials, sure. But the overarching big questions of things to raise is brought up by the commission. They hold all the power. You have many other institutions that you can't get to. It's just the money, the waste, you know, and the fees to be part of this. I mean, it's horrendous. And then furthermore, we've seen also over the years now how the EU is forcing countries or member states to take migrants and things like that, right? There is no national independence with this organization. And that's why I think it's impossible to reform it from the inside. You just have to collapse and you just have to walk away. That's what I think.
Oh, without question. I mean, the malfeasance is, it's like a giant sucking, that the sucking sound is the black hole that is the European Union, that are just draining the white man's creativity, his industry, et cetera, just draining it away for the, obviously the purpose of the, I guess, the welfare of these anti-whites at the very top, who are just gluttons sucking up all of this wealth and industry. And then, of course, for the ability to inflict this harm on the Western man, erasing our history, wanting to erase our identity, being offended by the presence of the Union
flag.
Jack,
all of
that. Yeah, it is all just clear evidence of the objectives that's actually in the hearts of these people. Now, they'll tell you, it's because this hurts someone's feelings. And remember, this is what the anti-whites always do. It's always going to be some little child over here is going to be hurt by your flag waving. And then what does that do? Well, for far too long, it has caused a great many, a large percentage of our women and a smaller percentage of our men to say, oh, well, let's not hurt their feelings. Well, we got to get over this. If we're going to survive as a people, we have to get over this. We better not hurt their feelings because that excuse is used on us far too often. It really is a mean pathogen that's used against us.
Absolutely. There's a lot that can be said about this. There are, of course, a couple of caveats to all of this. It is symbolic, as we said. And before we watch another video, RT did a pretty good piece where they expose some of the questions which are not resolved yet, which they're going to return to the big issues, basically. I just want to give a little shout out here to Zircon T, sent a diamond on DLive, no message. Thank you. Shekelman Noseberg has been very kind to have handing out a lot of 1 month subscriptions as well. So thank you to you for that. Spencer 394 gave a diamond and says, I love and support both of you guys. You changed me. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you for your support. Styx sent another Styx rectum jammer 666 sent another diamond, says for white well-being indeed. Thank you.
Amen.
Shmuel Goldschlong sent a ninja guinea. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oy vey, my old nicknames.
Yeah, exactly. Taking all the cool names here, guys. Oy vey, my shekels will help white well-being. I want Swexit. We Swedes don't need EU. We don't want it. Yeah, it's true. I mean, we'll see if we get a referendum. I think Sweden Democrats is the biggest party, and we'll see if they would actually put that to the table or not, a referendum just like the UK has done. We'll see about that. Okay, that's about it. Let's check out that video from RT, because it demonstrates a little bit of some of the problems that we are faced with, or the UK is going to be faced with now. Check this out. It's a bit longer, so I might cut it in half or something, but check out the different areas which the UK still is going to be tied to. Now, they're not going to hold any power. They have to get rid of all their MEPs and stuff, but they're still going to be part of the single market, the border Schengen zone, I believe, and a couple of other things. So check this out here. Oh, let me turn this up. Sorry about that. Here we go.
Forcing the EU after 3.5 years of seemingly endless negotiations, delays, ministerial trips back and forth between London and Brussels, we now have the unique opportunity of witnessing the Brexit unicorn.
Brexit means Brexit, and we're going to make a success of it.
Story of Brexit.
Deal Brexit.
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 Brexit. Brexit.
Wait, why does it look like nothing's changed? Well, just because you can't see Brexit doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Well, the UK isn't about to dive headfirst into single life anytime soon. For now, there'll be no new relationships or partners. Divorce is pretty tough, and it'll take some time to get over things, which is why there'll be an 11-month-long therapy or transition period where the UK and the EU will talk about their new relationship. That means, for now, the UK stays in the comfort zone of the single market, the customs union and the budget. The first day when they'll stop cohabiting and go their separate ways will be January the 1st, 2021.
Still a ways away.
There are no delays. So despite the UK staying for a little while, it'll be like renting a room in a house share. You can live there and help with bills, except you'll have no say in any house matters. British MEPs right. will be sent home and won't take part in any decisions. And definitely no union jacks allowed.
Now, what? Okay, and they play that clip again, but we'll continue watching. But that's very that's very interesting because we've obviously never had that situation. That what if the other, and I don't think it's going to happen, frankly, but if they have no MEPs to object or voice any concerns, but they're still actually under the single market, the customs, the budget and stuff like that. Are there other things that could happen here where they like impose punishments on Britain? And you know what I mean? It could be very strange, actually, the situation.
Yes, yes. Governance without any not even a pretend representation from the people of the UK. So who knows exactly what could take place here? They could go for the jugular, as we say here in the States. But, you know, it does speak to something that's very positive, which is that there could very well be, and there probably is, looking from the outside, we can only surmise, but some sort of power structure between anti-white elite factions. And that is good for Western kind.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep watching this clip here.
We want to ban our national flags, but we're going to wave you goodbye. And we'll look forward in the future to working with you.
Please sit down, resume your seats, put your flags away, you're leaving, and take them with you. If you are leaving now.
That line is just...
So what exactly is the deal? What will the UK gain and lose? Well, the first to go next year will be the single market and the customs union. But the UK will be able to find new friends, negotiate new global trade agreements. EU regulations go out the window. For example, GM food companies like Bayer, which brought Monsanto in 2018, aren't allowed to develop or sell new genetically modified products in Europe or the UK. Brexit could change all that. Well, the biggest Brexit blockage was Northern Ireland.
The Get your glowing
of border
cheek.
And customs checks seemed almost impossible to resolve. Both sides argued until the cows came home.
Glowing cows.
Yeah, this is the GMO issue. That's very interesting. I don't know why that is or why that would be. But of course, yeah, the border to Ireland has been discussed back and forth. We put an actual physical barrier in now. What do we do? Even Scotland has been in this situation now where they essentially want to jump ship from the UK, declare independence so that they can join the EU again. You know, it's like, what? It's just upside down, right? Let's see what else he says here.
The border won't be here, but somewhere here. In the Irish Sea. So, everyone should be happy. And if they're not, Belfast can vote to change things after 4 years. Then there's the question of fair play. Brussels wants a level playing field in any trade agreement. That means definitely no massive tax breaks, havens, subsidies, or crashing labour and environment standards. Basically, the EU's worried it's losing a member and gaining a competitor. Right across the channel.
We will do all this in the knowledge that with the departure of Great Britain, a potential competitor will, of course, emerge for us. That is to say, in addition to China and the United States of America, there will be Great Britain as well.
The talks have both sides worried. It's back to the drawing board on workers' rights, product regulations, and many more questions, and businesses are jittery. Especially with Sajid Javid's tough talk.
There will not be alignment, we will not be a rule taker, we will not be in the single market, and we will not be in the customs union. And we will do this by the end of the year.
Across the channel, the neighbours seem more optimistic that a deal can be reached.
If we want to be complete so that everyone is clear about our intentions, on the European Union side, there will be zero tariffs, zero quotas, zero dumping.
But it's not all smooth sailing. While the Northern Ireland situation seems resolved, for now at least, Scotland is seriously thinking about its own Skexit and planning a second independence referendum.
Stunning election win last night for the SNP.
We don't have to listen to the rest, but you see the complications here and the fact that the hard work is yet to come. And again, I just don't understand why the EU then would see them as competitors, another trading partner now, essentially. That's how they should see it, right? But I feel that there's this vindictive aspect now from the EU. They want to punish Britain for attempting this. And also, if they would give them a fair deal to leave, that would send the signal to other countries. I mean, their success, right? If Britain can be successful doing this, that would send the signal to other EU members that you can pull it off. And that I don't think they want that. What do you think?
I agree completely. It's just like a cult. When one person leaves, they have to punish that person so that none others get the idea that going free of their cult, their anti-white cult, will be something that will behoove them. Yeah, and this is clearly, I mean, what we're seeing, this is a giant imbroglio. You have a myriad of just this convoluted mélange of these power holders and power brokers all trying to get their little piece of this giant anti-white endeavor, which is really what all of this is. And those of us who care about white well-being that are looking in at this, all that really matters for us is to try to navigate this imbroglio. As we see, I mean, we're just talking about Scotland and Ireland and hard wall or wall in the sea, or how are they going to deal one level of trade when it comes to this, I guess, a bracket of goods or services, and then something else for another. All of that should really be the kind of thing that we tune out and we say, how can we use what's going on so to serve white well-being? So in one area, one county, one country, we can say XYZ and is all bad, and so therefore we have to go free. And in the very next county, we can say to those people, well, this is harmful to you all, the exact opposite, the antithesis, and say this is bad for you, and so therefore you have to go free. We can make this universal argument to all of our brothers and sisters, irrespective of the borders, the flags, etc. And we want, as opposed to the anti-whites, we want the different groups of our people waving their national flags. We want them and their cultures to grow and be richer and more vibrant, as directly opposed to the anti-whites, which what they want is to mute and erase, white erase everything in front of them, these vile witches, and just Merkel looking like an anti-white devil turtle. Just, I mean, she looks like her head is like crawling out of her jacket as she talks about this potential competitor now, instead of a new partner in this. Everybody must submit to these anti-white witches at the pyramid of this, of course, who are not actually in charge. They're just the figureheads out there for all of us to see. But you must submit. You must just do what they say. I mean, that first one, she could not have been more frigid. The one for the EU, I didn't catch her name.
Yeah.
If you were to touch her, it would have been like looking at Medusa.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a very, very bad situation. Again, I hope obviously the best for England, the UK. And that again, it will be very interesting to see what happens from the point of view of immigration. There's been, Boris is not better, you know, and we know that the EU is bad, but I just hope that but England doesn't just like, you know, bypasses that and still are under the same like idea that they need to replace themselves. And that could very well be an issue. I saw that Boris Johnson reported, I think it was last week, that he lowered the minimum wage, I think, and he agreed to like take in no new low-skilled labor and stuff like that. So it's like classic, you know, conservative kind of talking points here. But a couple of messages that came in here on DonorBox, guys, before we move on. We'll check one more clip on the Brexit thing, and then we'll move on to give an update on the coronavirus as well, on some interesting turns that's taken. Herudbet Hildebrand says, two of the best men in the white positive sphere, been following Jason for a long time. And Henrik, since the beginning, thanks for all the hard work you do, guys. Love you both. No homo, smiley face. Sverige. And he ends saying, Sverige åt svenskarna, which means Sweden for the Swedes. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate that. Then we have André C. as well, who shares a couple of bucks and says, as if being scared of all the engineers and doctors flooding into the UK isn't bad enough. Now we have the coronavirus. By the way, everyone should consider giving Go Free a read. Fantastic, life-changing book. We'll make sure to plug that a little bit later too, Jason. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. A couple of on the DLive chat here as well. Our friend Brad Grimba sends a diamond and says, glad to see Mr. Kuhn back again. Thank you, Brad. And he sends another diamond as well. Thank you so much. Nordic Prince sends a diamond as well. Says, Scotland must stand strong with UK economic sense. I think they should too, to be honest, but that's just weird, right? That they're like, want to jump ship and then back into the EU again. It's just very strange. Hedavard Silvati sends a Ninja Guinea. Thank you, sir. He says, watched Lana's critique on Borderless and read The Rats of Nationalism. Subverted? Including Brexit. Interesting. Yeah, I hope you liked Borderless, by the way, the review on that. I thought that was pretty good. It was a while ago now, of course. Rats of Nationalism. Are you familiar with that? Jason?
No,
The rats of nationalism. And read The Rats of Nassau. Okay, interesting. I'll check that out. Thank you, Hervod. Appreciate that. Nordic Prince sends another diamond and says, Nikolai wants immigrants and lefty, not nationalist. Nikolai, that's right, the Scottish PM. Or is it president? I forget if it's president or prime minister. But she does, absolutely. I mean, they want to replace the Scottish people up there. They're crazy. Yet they're called the Independence Party, right? Or yeah, you know, Nationalist Party or whatever it is. And Hervod sends a diamond as well. Another one says Brexit ends free EU movement, but we'll get Africa. Yeah, pretty much that's what they want. The close cooperation between EU and Africa. It's in the Kalergi plan. They talk about this all the time. Bono's organization, One, whatever the hell it's called. We play the clip many times. Absolutely insane. Here's what one green MEP think of the whole situation as she breaks down in tears. And says, one day we'll be back. Check this out. It's kind of funny.
We must keep the dream alive, especially for young people who are overwhelmingly pro-European. I hold in my heart the knowledge that one day I will be back in this chamber celebrating our return to the heart of Europe.
With all the money that I make, they make an extraordinary amount of money, by the way, these MEPs. No, oh, they do. I mean, it's literally bribes. And most of them are flooded with so much paperwork. So many things to decide on, so many laws that's going to be passed. I mean, we talked about this for years. Like it's like the Lex, the main legal book, I guess, of the EU is like the law kind of framework is like 60,000 pages. It's like absurd. Right. Like they get dumped these paper dumps on their desks, and they're so confused that they did an expose of this many years ago. There's new MEPs that are elected. They come to the European Union, the Parliament. They're obviously, very overwhelmed with all of this, you know, this huge chamber and very, very official and, you know, all this stuff, right? And then eventually they're so lost that they end up like basically latching on to a senior in the parliament where they essentially look over like, what does that person vote for? Oh, right. Yes on this? Okay, I'll do that as well. Oh, no on this? I'll do that as well. There's these weird kind of, you know, recommendations and stuff. It's all it's crazy stuff. Anyway, let's listen to the rest of what she said. But here she's in tears. She doesn't want to leave this lady.
Back in this chamber, celebrating our return to the heart of Europe. Thank you.
The Greens are funny too because like they want like just total open borders. By the way.
Look at that crew. I mean, they look sick, don't they? I mean, this is what anti-whiteism is. It attracts the sickest folks, the sickest people. She is going to return with her cats, every one of them, I have no doubt. But, you know, I just want to quickly say, first of all, folks, support Henrik and Lana. We need to support these people because the anti-whites know all the good that they're doing, and they come after these folks all the time, them and their young family. We've talked about it a lot on Going Free, about how it's not about just depriving Henrik and Lana of a way to make a living. They want to deprive them of the food that they would put in their bellies, the mortgage payments they would make for their house, the medicine they would give to their children. So make sure you support these people. Make sure you get signed up for their site, and you'll be able to watch all of their content. And it's amazing content, by the way. I was looking at the graphics once again at the beginning of the show. I was just complimenting Henrik. Really amazing stuff. So make sure you all do that. I do want to say quickly that when it comes to Brexit, there are a lot of positives and negatives here. So there are things to be very excited about, and we should be excited about them as a people, as Western kind around planet Earth. And some negative things, not that we should let get us down, but things that we should prepare for so that we are ready when they happen. Now, one of the most exciting things that no one is talking about, or at least I've heard, maybe I tried to be au courant for this, for the show today for Henrik and Lana, so that I wouldn't just be witless as I came. By the way, Henrik, I'll just say really quickly that also that Henrik wrote me and said, can you come on Flashback Friday with me? And I looked at my schedule and I said, oh, geez, I have oral surgery. And then I thought, I am not passing this up.
So I didn't know.
I know. I didn't mention it to you. I'm actually here and I had a phrenectomy earlier today.
Oh,
so something weird shoots out of my mouth while we're chatting. You know, that's actually a phrenectomy is when they sever your tongue from the bottom of your mouth because I used to my tongue tied. So my tongue was actually trapped.
Oh shit.
But it's not anymore. It's free. But
hurt to move it?
Well,
you're toughing it out. Oh, jeez.
I'll just say this, that yes, we have, you know, the positive folks, we have the negatives. The thing that's important that we should be really excited about, not the fact that
some MEPs or whatever they're called that they voted to separate, and now the process has begun. And by next year, this time, if everything goes well, then there'll be the actual departure. That's not what's important, because if you cast a vote, then you played some role in that. What's really important, though, is not that the votes defeated the yeas to, I guess, to leave, defeated the nays to stay, or whatever it was, the votes to leave. It's not that that was the important part. The important part here is that the anti-white elites, they could have done, like they're doing in the U.S. with everything Trump has made a feint at trying to do, they could have tied this up for eternity in this lawsuit and that lawsuit and this legalese and this interpretation of this or that. There was a force there that prevented them from doing that. And it is definitely twofold. And both of those things are exciting for us. The first one is that they have the ability to look in all of your social media, your communications, et cetera, and they saw a momentum in the body politic in the UK that terrified them. And they said, we better not play legalese games with these folks. We better not push this anymore. We better just take a step back and then try to propagandize again from a new beachhead rather than where we were. The other thing that is very exciting is that there's clearly some sort of power structure dynamic going on where there is one group or groups vying with others and trying to get a head up on the others. That is very exciting for us. Now, both are anti-white groups, undoubtedly, but it's still exciting for us because anything that disrupts this societal context in the West means that there is a possibility that new opportunities will open for us, those of us who care about white well-being. We need to take advantage of them. So that is what's really exciting about this disruption. Now, yeah, we're going to have boards. They're going to want to bring in more non-whites. The government's not going to be any different. It's still going to be anti-white, but there's going to be opportunities or potential for opportunities as the cards are reshuffled. Be very excited about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, indeed. It's a good point. And there's a lot of things to be positive about that. And of course, Brexit was a major shakeup back when the election took place in 2016. And again, it's those symbolic gestures that matters the most, that it's like, it's doable. People, they revolted against this and they made a decision. And that's so good to, you know, great to see. And thank you as well, Jason, for joining us today. Then I had no idea that you're in that situation. And so thank you. You're brave for being here in case there's something that hurts and stuff. So I hope you're feeling all right. And thank you for mentioning the support as well. It is true. It is true. They definitely are want to try to shut us down. There's no doubt about it. There's things happening on the back end that we don't discuss and we don't talk about that we could kvetch a lot more about. But, you know, we're still here. So it is that's that. Thank you so much for mentioning that, by the way. So, yeah, Hervard Silvatizzi. Sorry if I... Sounds Italian, last name. I think you're Swedish, right? Anyway, he says, the rats of nationalism, Brandon Adamson, guest question mark. Adamson, I can't read. How about that? I have not checked it out before, so I will. Thank you for that proposal. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Let me go full screen. So again, not an endorsement. I don't know if it's good, but I'm sure it is. One of our wonderful viewers have recommended it, so I'm sure it's good. I will look into that. Thank you so much, Hervard. I appreciate that. The Real Mother Hen donated a diamond and says, support those who support our folk. Absolutely. Thank you. Really appreciate that, ma'am. Shroon sends a diamond. A member already. Hail. Well, thank you, Shroon. I appreciate that. It does definitely help. Head of Art again sends a diamond. Says, Jason going free, tongue free. That's funny. Shroon sends another diamond and says, anti-white motivates the opposite, he says. Thank you. Okay, exactly. What we'll do now, ladies and gentlemen, is that we'll dive into the... unless there's something closing you want to say about the EU or Britain, Brexit, anything, Jason?
No. Well, one warning, a bit of caution is this. Let our people return to this antiquated nationalism, this misguided, benighted nationalism that would put the English people, including the paper English, ahead of our brothers and sisters in our other countries around the world. These are all we are a single people with many countries. And that is how we have to view it from now on. We want to embolden and encourage and reignite the delicate hues and different hues of Western civilization that we practice in our countries. At the same time, we can't allow the propaganda machines of anti-whiteism to turn us against each other, because they're going to say, well, this will be better for the British. Well,
right.
That's not going to matter. What matters is what's good for Western kind. That's how we have to view every decision from now on. So if we're going to move back from more of a global anti-white mindset by stepping back from the EU, then we need to move into the new nationalism. I mean, we were talking about with Andreas, Johan, and what was it, Mike, about this nationalism that embraces all of our brothers and sisters around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I mean, if the EU was an organization that was very good for our people, I would be for it, obviously. Right? I don't care nomenclature, what you call the political system, or if it's, you know, where they stand on the tax policies and shit. I mean, I don't care about that. It's like the most important thing is the preservation of our people, and those who work against it and wants to disrupt our path, those who want to even genetically, literally replace us in our own countries, those are enemies, and they will be worked against no matter what they do, no matter what they say, obviously. So yeah, that's a really good point. Now, guys, let's switch over a little bit here and give you guys an update on the coronavirus. There's some very interesting developments on this. And of course, we've been covering it the last couple of weeks. We've covered the inconsistencies, but also the little curiosities, such as the patenting of the coronavirus, the involvement of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation through the Peary Group, I think it was called. It was a funded group by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Of course, Bill Gates have made many important speeches where he openly talks about reducing the world population. He's talking about vaccine schemes and things like that. And of course, it would be a measure for them to make money on it. I'm very skeptical. I think that, coincidentally, of course, Wuhan was one of the areas where they had a biomedical experimentation laboratory. It was equipped, of course, to deal with these kinds of outbreaks when they do occur. They had a hospital there. They're building a hospital now in just a few days. 6 days they're trying to build a hospital that can quarantine about 1,600 people. I think they upped that from about 1,000.
How fast is concrete cure?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. They're probably just used like plastic or something, you know what I mean? Some faux kind of chemical that just like hardens right away.
Stamped really big, made in China.
Yep, exactly. They have, of course, they have mobilized a lot of effort. And of course, the communist Chinese government have done a lot of interesting things, which of course other countries I think wouldn't be able to do because of their authoritarian kind of tendencies. But we'll look at some clips here too of some of the disastrous, horrible things that they've done against their people too. People who want to communicate and talk about this. And I think there is an aspect to the Chinese government trying to downplay this, right? I think the key is a little bit in the media too. There has been a little bit of a hype in terms of the coverage, but what I've seen, the trends the last few days has been, don't worry, it's not as bad, it's okay, it's a, you know, kind of thing. And yeah, that takes me into the territory where I kind of feel and suspect a little bit that maybe this thing is a little bit worse than what they're saying. Usually if it's not bad, if it's a thing not to worry about, like the threat of white supremacy, look at how they treat that, for example. I mean, in comparison, right? And how much media coverage something like that get in terms of the blown out of proportions, that this is the biggest threat ever. They have meetings and, you know, in the halls of politics about this stuff. But when there is something that's real, a real danger, like the opioid crisis, millions of people dead, very few really deal with that and gives it the attention that it deserves, right? So it's a little bit of a temperature. You can gauge the situation a little bit by monitoring the media. But anyway, as of right now, this has not been updated since yesterday, almost 24 hours, I believe. This is the case, global cases map, if you will, from Johns Hopkins. Total confirmed cases right now, almost at 10,000. And total deaths, 213. And they claim as well 222 recovered. But I don't know. I've seen some of the footage. I've seen some people dropping dead. We'll have some more updates on that too. But it's been pretty intense watching some of that. I don't know really how bad it is. And the sad reality is too, Jason, before we dive in and watch some of the recent clips and footage and updates on this, is that what everyone should know is that you can never be sure that you get the full story from the mainstream media. And you can never know if it's accurate reporting or not. And that's the sad reality of all of this. How do you view something like this, the coronavirus?
Oh, without question, we're not going to. In fact, when it comes to the number infected, at least a zero, probably an additional zero. The number who are dead, a zero, and maybe another zero. The number that are have survived or they've cured. You might as well take away the hundreds column. This is the kind of thing that governments lie about all of the time. And you can expect nothing but disinformation from governments. Certainly the government of China are not going to be telling the truth and telling the truth about how their people are being treated. I mean, how just the people who are building these hospitals what they're going through to build these hospitals. This we have heard about China and other countries in Southeast Asia and how they treat their populations. There is a tendency there, biospiritual tendency, very different from our own. And as a consequence, when these things, first of all, how they get started, when you have zoonotic diseases that pop up every year or so, sometimes they go broader like this. Most of the time they don't. We don't hear about them at all. But you have zoonotic diseases because you have people with the biospirit that like to dine in cuisine that would make you and I projectile vomit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe theirs is, maybe they have a palate that is superior to mine. In mine now that's free, but I don't know. But the problem is going to be is that they're going to be eating these things in our Western countries now. We're not going to be looking across the sea anymore. We're not going to be looking across these vast distances. Of course, where we see that it doesn't matter now, we have these vast distances. They're still allowed to come in. They bring them in. The anti-white. In by they the plane
route. Yep.
But now we're not going to have to look very far. We're going to have to look as far as New York or as far as Louisiana or as far as Canada, where these people are dining on things that suit them perfectly, and God bless them for that. But at the same time, cause these zoonotic diseases that come from an animal to transfer to human, and yeah. then from one human to find its way, the way that life does, to be able to transmit from one to the next and survive. And yeah, and
Sweden just—I'm sorry—I just have to pause. Sweden just had a confirmed case today as well, by the way. And I don't know if you saw that tweet. There was a gentleman traveling back from Wuhan. He had contacted the Swedish Disease Institute in Sweden and asked them, "What do I do? What's the procedure? Where should I go? Do you want to check me?" They said, "No, there's no restrictions. Just traveling as usual." And I said, "If there's a case that pops up in Sweden, it's going to be the Swedish." Disease Prevention Institute that's going to enable that has been brought into the country. Look at this irresponsibility. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, well, it makes perfect sense. It's perfectly in keeping with the anti-white's position to inflict harm on Western kind of Western
Christ. Civilization.
And we can hold these people to blame for when these diseases, there will be, ladies and gentlemen, and we have plenty of clips to play.
Yes.
We'll talk about that and we'll do that. There will be a real pandemic one of these days that's seriously deadly. And yeah. it's going to come to yeah. our country because the anti-whites want to make that so.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And we'll go through there because we have a couple of stories about that, how long it took before they actually started to like deal with the situation and really like take it seriously, just like yeah. they wanted to spread. But anyway, we didn't yeah. see it yet. It was declared an international health emergency by the World Health Organization. So let's just check out that clip here first.
The vast majority of cases outside China have a travel history to Wuhan or contact with someone with a travel history to Wuhan.
That's pretty high IQ right there.
We don't know what sort of damage this virus could do if it were to spread in a country with a weaker health system. We must mm-hmm. act now to help countries prepare for that possibility.
That's right. You gotta give more money. Somehow it just happens to be that agenda of like using the virus and this pandemic as an excuse to do wealth redistribution from the West to third world countries just happened to go kind of coincide perfectly with this agenda.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
For all of these reasons, I'm declaring a public health emergency of international concern over the global outbreak of novel coronavirus. The main reason for this declaration is not because of what is happening in China, but because of what is happening in other countries.
Well, I thought the main concern was China and that they should yeah. stop traffic. They should block. And they didn't. We'll show here in a moment. But just how little they actually did. And even right after it's been declared, let me see if I find it. Oh, maybe it was later. Here is an example of that. These are 7 minutes apart. BNO Newsroom says, breaking, World Health Chief says coronavirus has escalated into an unprecedented outbreak. We international emergency, blah, blah, blah. 7 minutes later, World Health Organization Chief says he's not recommending restrictions on trade or transport. Why? Why? Tell me that, right? It's so irresponsible. And it's like, as we'll see too in a moment here with the trade issues and like, you know, that's more important for them to get the finances and the money keep rolling in and the commerce. They're worried about what's going to happen with China now producing things. And I don't know if you've seen some of those reports. It's sickening.
Yeah.
Materialism over that.
Well, that, yeah, certainly there are going to be people that these folks are working for that matters very much to. It really is. There's a dual driver. There is an economic drive, and then there is the ideological anti-white drive. And they both are at work, and very often, not only just tandem, but working in this confluent way that it is harming us going both directions. They are going to strip us of our wealth. They're going to steal our... Listen, folks, you have roads that are failing. You have bridges that are failing. You have medical industry that is failing. All of this because trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars, and those are not just things that are meaningless. That is your creativity and your industry has all been transferred to other places in the world. That's why there are so many people on planet Earth now, because of that. There wouldn't be these populations in Africa and India and to a lesser degree in China if it wasn't because of our medicine, et cetera, that enable these people to survive and reproduce like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So not only are they doing that, but then they say, no problem with bringing the diseased people into your countries. They're going to keep coming into your countries. We got to keep this economic engine going because that's all that matters. People don't matter. We're just going to make sure that the people with the virus continue to march into your country. And then Henrik has some great video clips of folks who are denouncing heretics of anti-whiteism who don't want to hug the disease, the virus, heretic.
It's racism, discrimination now that people are a little bit concerned over if someone is Chinese and they're like, wait a minute, stay away from me, right? Again, basic fundamental survival instinct is what they're trying to prevent and break down in us. Of course, if they can do that, they could do anything, right? We're practically already dead. Now, I think it might have been a bioweapon that got loose. Currently, that's the position I take because they don't know how it was transferred from animals. I think these viral videos with bat soups and stuff like that, I think that was conveniently released at the same time.
Might be.
And because, again, that lab was in Wuhan. It was Chinese people that had stolen Ebola and other things from Canadian laboratories and took them over to mainland China to use as bioweapons. And maybe it was an accident. And now at this point, WHO and all these other organizations are just like, yeah, okay, well, it's bad, but let's use it. Let's do what we can. Let's reshuffle the global order in our favor now during this upheaval. But anyway, a little bit of an update here as well from Global News. Check this out, a couple of minutes here.
213 people have now died from this new strain of coronavirus, all of them in China. And the WHO says China, which has put millions of people under quarantine, is rapidly building new hospitals to handle all the sick people, too. It says it's set a new standard for outbreak response.
I have never seen in my life this kind of mobilization, the measures they're taking, which I believe will reverse the tide. But not only what they're doing is protecting their people, but I know from the figures also, you know that it's protecting the rest of the world.
There are no more than 100 confirmed cases outside mainland China. They're scattered across at least 19 countries and territories. India has now confirmed its first case, and so has the Philippines. Canada's health minister says the risk here remains low, and declaring a global health emergency does not change that. The government is still working on a plan to airlift Canadians trapped in Wuhan, the center of the outbreak. We'll get to that in just a moment, but we begin with Redmond Shannon on the
again,
WHO.
That's the attitude, right? No, let's just ship them in. The UK did. They had a plane that arrived. America has continued to travel, all that stuff. I don't think we have to watch the rest. It's just as a rip. But keep in mind, too, that the World Health Organization head right there, I forget his name now, but listen to how he praised China's response as well. And keep that in mind as we'll check some of the other footage of what they're doing towards their own people and stuff like that. Because this is a...
Yes.
It's, It's amazing. It's perfectly sensible that you know, a communist government would be praised by these global international organizations at the same time that they're like literally suppressing them. Here's a little bit of an update also on this issue in terms of the cases of discrimination on the rise as fears grow over coronavirus. RT covering this. Check this out.
Borders on lockdown. Zombie-like scenes of quarantined cities. The world is united in trying to concoct a healing serum.
Virus, which has infected hundreds in China, has now reached the United States.
Villages have started to physically block themselves off from the capital.
And new cases have been confirmed around the world, including Germany and Japan.
In the contest of deadliest bugs, the new coronavirus doesn't even come close to the old familiar flu. But tables turn dramatically when it comes to the ability to strike fear in the masses. And this fear is also bringing out the racist in some people, with the Chinese diaspora in Canada among those at the receiving end.
A friend of mine has told me the other day she dropped off her daughter. And her daughter was just having a bad day. She's 3 years old. And the daycare teacher kept saying, is she sick? Is she okay?
Of course she would.
And she kept having to justify herself and say, no, we haven't traveled or we've been back a certain amount of time.
And they're expecting no one to take the responsibility to check these things. It's now offensive to ask, Jason, even just asking. They would never kick her out of school or anything like that if it wasn't sick, right? But it's this idea that you're to, no, just trust us, whatever we say. Meanwhile, we've actually seen footage out of China where they actually, among each other, intentionally are trying to infect others. I don't know if you saw some of that. They're spitting on counters and stuff and each other and weird stuff like that. There's like real internal turmoil, which the mainstream media isn't really showing. It's amazing.
Wow.
But yeah, a little bit more here from this clip. It's pretty amazing stuff.
I have one friend that said a colleague of hers went around to everybody who was Asian in her office and says, are you Chinese? Are you from China?
Yeah.
Are you Chinese has become a frequent question faced by Canadians of Asian descent. Chinese school students there whose parents have recently visited China have been urged to stay at home for a while. In France, a local newspaper published this on its front page. Headlines saying
yellow alert,
yellow alert and yellow peril. And the internet took this and did what it does best. Made everything worse.
If we could all agree not to eat this, things like the coronavirus in China wouldn't happen. Just saying.
How dare you criticize their eating habits?
Yeah, exactly.
Made in China.
How dare you criticize the quality of their goods.
Exactly.
I just bought a mask to protect myself from this coronavirus, but it's made in China, so am I playing myself?
I find it disgustingly ironic that people are being racist towards Asian people as they fear getting the coronavirus. When back in the colonial era, white people literally brought illnesses to countries and killed thousands.
Yeah, and then it's always that too, right? I mean, let's be honest. After America had quarantined Chinese people, like especially in San Francisco, there's a big Chinese, quarantined area there for them, basically. Partially because of the fact that it was Asians that had brought the Black Plague to Europe. It killed half of our people. And right. So this, again, these are sensible things. You ask people, it doesn't mean you hate them, just because, it's because of, again, for concern for your own, for your countrymen, for your own family.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that they're not lying. That they just arrived and they're fleeing. And again, there's reasons for this because people have been fleeing out of China, actually going to other countries. It was that lady who fled to France. She intentionally took medicine to bring down her temperature. She flew to France just to have some fancy dinner. Obviously, some of the wealthier class of Chinese people that did this stuff. And then, of course, voila, 2 days later, it was like three or four other cases in China. I'm not saying it was her, but I'm just saying these things happen, right? So it's an anti-white thing that has weaved itself into this now. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything has a racial subtext, an anti-white subtext in the world. You are not allowed to live white man, white woman, white child. You have to embrace the virus. You have to embrace the people who might have a virus. Why don't you have the virus? And by the way, you can read in that anti-white bastard's comments that he made there at the end that they played, that this is revenge. That's what you can read into the sentiments of that anti-white that was writing there.
Right.
That, well, the white man brought diseases to non-white people as though we intended to bring them. You know, the whole chicken pox or whatever, smallpox and the blankets thing was bogus. And so they want to say, oh, well, you had diseases that then these populations contracted and they died as a consequence, certain, whatever percentage dies. So now you must die today. Well, go straight to hell, buddy, because it wasn't alive back then. And we did not think that our diseases were not going to be able to be endured by these peoples when we didn't physically go up and cough on them because we knew that they were all going to die as a result.
Right.
Of the disease. And furthermore, it has happened both directions throughout history.
That's right. It's one of the downsides of globalization and that level of travel, that you will bring diseases to other people that never seen those kinds of things before, you know?
Precisely. And it's going to come from these places on planet Earth where I think that very well likely Westman would not build civilization. We would look there and we would say, that is just planet sewer, that area there. We're not going to live there. We're not going to try to build that up because there's nothing good about that area. And yet these other people, their biospirits are different. They want to go dwell in those places and they're going to find things in there that better to be left where they are.
Mm. Yep. Absolutely. So there was some quarantining here of Americans who were brought back in California. There was a plane that landed. They have brought people in and done checks here. This clip goes through. We don't have to play the rest. But it's just, again, that we're in a situation now where they're intentionally bringing people back. And again, can we ensure that the tests are sufficient? Well, I hope so, but we don't know. They're taking risks which other countries don't have. They set up travel bans immediately against China. They close the borders. We're like, yeah, keep it open. It's fine. Yep. Bring in the goods. It's suicide, right? So here's some more. It's a good tweet thread here from Dimitopoulos or whatever his name is. He's a good guy. Follow him on Twitter. He breaks a lot of stuff. More shocking footage here from Hubei province. People are dropping down onto the floor, being very ill. You can see footage here where they're just lying. They're just lying around. Oh, here's interesting too. This is the major exodus of people trying to leave some of the major big cities in China due to the coronavirus. Look at that. See if there's any audio on this here. That is some pretty decent cues right there. We have just no concept of how many people there are there.
No. You know,
like, I've never even heard of Wuhan, and it's like it's bigger than New York. Like, much bigger than New York. You know, it's an amazing amount of people there. Here he says, there's leaked video footage on the Chinese messaging app WeChat that the International Red Cross has donated tons of face masks, but the government is at this point refusing to hand them out to people and doctors in Wuhan. People have shot this here. They're just standing around.
Good God.
There's some subtitle to this too, so I don't know what he's saying here. But there's more footage of that. Let me go down to the next one. Oh, this one too is interesting. The Chinese government are using drones to spy on people. They have heat-sensitive cameras, I guess, and they drive up to windows.
Oh my God.
And checking on them and stuff like that. Yeah, just a little update on that. Here's more of the face masks, the boxes standing around. We did a good thread on this here.
What they should have told them was that there were fresh bats in there.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Free bats. Free bat soup. Bat soup powder. another video of a person who fell onto the ground at the Hubei province in China.
And they just leave the person.
They leave them there. Yep, they just lie there.
This is the biospirit of a completely different people, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what is going to look like our environments. Are you going to feel comfortable?
No one is taking care of him right there. Oh, there's a couple that showed up.
You know, they're going to just drag his corpse off now at this point. I'm sure he's gone now.
Yeah, Wuhan had built an incinerator, coincidentally, earlier this year. It was over the garbage disposal. They have a major issue with garbage, among other things, in Wuhan. And there was protest against the building of this incinerator. But that, of course, means that they potentially could they had open. They have actually opened crematoriums now in Wuhan, where they're starting to burn the bodies of the dead. Another person who fell ill on the ground of the coronavirus, also in the Hubei province. They're just lying around. Look at that.
Good Lord.
I'll play that again so you can see.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody really still believe those numbers they're handing out? There are bodies lying on the streets.
They can't pick them up fast enough. They can't hide it fast enough.
And this is coming out of a country where it is a vault. They don't allow things to get out.
No.
And so if anything gets out, what is the magnitude that's actually behind inside the vault?
That is true. That is true. And they have people have reported earlier they have to use VPNs because they, of course, the government blocks this. Mm. They don't want it to get out. They're trying to contain it. And again, in connection to this, you have seen the discussion kind of change a little bit in even Western mainstream media. It's like, it's not that bad. It's a little bit overhyped. And, you know, one end, the media kind of benefits from a little bit of a pandemic. It's good clicks. It's good, you know, revenue, money, ads and stuff like that. So they like it on one end.
Right.
But the other is that they're don't worry about it. More people die from the flu now, they've said. Okay. Right. Yeah, so that's kind of that from the thread there. There's more footage like this coming out. People just dying. They're standing in line to get into hospitals. Packed like crazy in some of these hospitals, by the way. China has implemented the biggest quarantine in history. But will it work? That is the question. Never seen them quarantining so many people before. I even heard, we played a clip last week, I believe it was, or maybe it was Weekend Warrior, I forget now, where they said quarantining and containing a population of this size. A spokesperson from the World Health Organization said, it is a new phenomenon to science. We've never tested and experimented. And of course, part of this issue is that people have been traveling out. People have been escaping, essentially. People have been lying. They've dodged, trying to bring their temperatures down. They go to Australia, other Western countries, as we'll see later. But look at this, Bloomberg. Bargain flights between Hong Kong and New York have emerged in the wake of the new coronavirus, as long as travelers are willing to stop in Wuhan, right? So you can, like, you know that this is going to be the best kind of people, too, who wants these bargain tickets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would they be concerned with that it's, a pandemic going on in Wuhan? You might bring them back. Why is no one stopping this? Why did it take so long? Eventually, of course, and I think this was today, it was several days where people are asked, why don't you close the border, stop planes from coming out, stop trade, stop shipments from China. Eventually, they issued it. They said, do not travel to China. Just an update from USA Today here, too. Mm. Now, all the airlines haven't reduced their service to China, but a lot of them have, and some companies even took the step themselves before government did it. If Air France, for example, I read earlier, they were like, the workers demanded them, like, we're not going to fly there. We're not going to work. We're going to go on strike. And so the company had to ban it, you know, like, okay, we're stopping to China. It's fine. You know, it's amazing. Okay. Just a little bit more here in terms of some of the updates before we get into some of the juicy stuff here. But Trump administration temporarily bans foreigners who visited China from entering the United States. But again, this took a long time. I mean, how many cases are there now? Like 10, I think, in the U.S., 5 to 10, something like that.
Yeah.
That's what it took. So it landed on American shores and on European shore, and still they didn't do anything. So here's a guy who's reporting from Wuhan while the government is hunting him, he claims, as well. Listen to this clip here. It's subtitled, I believe, so.
I'm scared. I'm is 中国的法律和行政力量，但是我会振作起来。只要我活在这个城市，我会继续做我的报道，我只说我看见的，我听见的。我特别喜欢说一些撂的狠话，对吧？我今天把狠话撂着，妈逼，我连死都不怕，我怕你共产党吗？
Yeah, says, do you think I'm scared of you, Chinese Communist Party? He says he has, on one end, he has the virus on behind him, and or, you know, the virus in front of him and the government behind him. He's like sandwiched between two issues. And I've seen a lot of these kinds of clips. They call total inept action on the government. They haven't done enough. They haven't done the right things. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, again, as you said, the World Health Organization is praising the actions of China. Yet we've seen footage like this coming out. Shocking video from Hubei province as Chinese workers under the supervision of the government officials are barricading down a door, exiting it off at a resident in an apartment building who's considered to be infected by the coronavirus. Right. So internally in China, they have a tighter restriction on like handling this than we do with our borders. Right. They're like, they can block off, doors and apartment buildings and stuff like that. In the West, we don't do anything. Check out this footage here.
Yeah.
And I think the sign says something like, Wuhan people live here or something like that. People went through what it actually said. Yeah, they're closing it off. They're barricading the door.
This is where life is meaningless. Life has no value.
Yeah.
To these, I mean, this is common. Read these people's histories, and I know the anti-whites think these histories are better than ours, but
yeah,
their life, they treat life as though it has no meaning and value whatsoever.
No, it's a cruelty there for sure. You get the idea, folks. They just barricade the door. Watch out, they're living here. And this is not the stuff that the World Health Organization says, like, oh, shit, there's human rights abuses in China. No, they praise it. Oh, China's action has been great. RT reports no more bats and snakes are going to go on sale. China bans wildlife trade after virus outbreak linked to agricultural products. Now, again, I don't know if this is the link or not. People don't even know yet. Could be a mutated, intentionally mutated biovirus. Let's check out the clip here.
对面. Wow, I'm salivating already.
Oh, jeez, look at this.
Oh, my.
Holy shit.
Oh,
wow, look at that.
That is monster.
They eat everything. They eat everything, and they're cruel to these animals. They capture them in the wild.
God, how monstrous.
You know, and it's like, yeah, I know there's issues with these mass slaughterhouses in the West and stuff, but, you know, even the worst of that is not as bad as some of this, you know?
Yeah. Probably the proper thing to have done with that poor animal would be to put it out of its misery.
Yeah, euthanize it.
But
these are intended to, they were on sale in these wildlife markets, you know?
God.
Wild animals, they eat everything. So they believe that, of course, one animal had a mutated version of the coronavirus and then he jumped. They don't even know why it does that yet. It's common in animals, but they say occasionally, like SARS, like MERS, was it the other? They jump into humans occasionally, right? Now, the Wall Street Journal had a little feature on this too, in terms of the economic impact of the coronavirus, that there's a business issue that's tied to this. They're worried. It looks like the business world is partially trying to downplay it because this could hurt the bottom line. You know, the production, the sale, sending things to China, out from China.
Mm-hmm.
This was while they're reporting on that the CDC had quarantined Americans evacuated from center of China virus outbreak. Let's just look at this video a little bit here because I think they go through the economic issue here, guys. I'm going to erase it up.
Central China, investors are starting to get an idea of its global impact. First up, economic growth. The virus spread just ahead of the Chinese New Year holiday. That's when hundreds of millions of Chinese normally hit the shops and travel to visit family. Supply chains have also been disrupted, with many businesses closing operations in China. It could cause growth in China to slow to around 4% from 6% in the last quarter, according to Nomura estimates. That's actually worse than the 2003 SARS episode. Second, the Chinese currency, which has weakened amidst concerns about economic growth in China. The yuan briefly broke 7 to the dollar in offshore trading on Thursday before recovering slightly. The currency's slide reduces some of the gains chalked up after the initial US-China trade deal and Washington's decision to take China out of a list of trading partners that it considers to be currency manipulators. Third up, travel and luxury stocks. Travel has been curtailed and some airlines have stopped routes at a time when demand for flights was already dampened. high-end brands that rely on Chinese consumers have been affected too.
There. Global now, that is key too, because I saw there was a Chinese shopkeeper in France. She spoke French. I assume she's been there for a while. She said, this is disastrous for us. It's all the big Chinese spenders that come and buy these luxury items in France and stuff. So there's been an industry pressure on government to say, no, think of the bottom line, the dollar. We got to get our money in. Don't stop the flights to keep these people coming. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
It truly is. And that's such a motivator. And this is what I said about with Poland and allowing these the visas from the United States. Is that these businesses are going to get into Poland, and then there's going to be an economic pressure there to keep these borders open for whatever the anti-whites want them to do, including something like a coronavirus.
Yeah. Let me go through a couple of super chats here before we get ahead of ourselves. Maybe if you guys are commenting on things we're actually covering now, and then we'll move on and talk about, look at actually this, the outrage about this, these more of these racism accusations surrounding this. Nordic Prince says, a diamond says, only a few know the truth. Thank you, Red Ice. Thank you, Nordic Prince. I appreciate that very much. Another diamond he sends, and he says, up Helia in Shetland is some white tradition. Yeah, it's a white tradition indeed. Very interesting. We've shown footage from there many over, I think, the last 2 years in Weekend Warrior. Magnificent kind of a Viking festival that takes place there. Maybe at the end I can find a little video and we can play that as we go out.
Yeah.
Magnificent cultural event takes place there. So thank you for the tip on that too, by the way, Nordic Prince. Real Mother Hen sends another diamond to us and says, grapefruit seed extract is a natural antiviral. Yeah, I've heard about that, actually. I've done it a couple of times. It's very good for you. So thank you for the tip on that, too, by the way. Shroon sends a diamond. Says, corona math. No cases equals 2.6 to the nth power. What is that?
Nth.
Nth. Is that what you... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. I mean, I've heard it has like a... Last reports I've said, they say, oh, we don't know how contagious it is. Other times I've read reports from, like, I think Lancet had some release, and they said on average one person infects two to three people, which means it's going to grow exponentially. And again, if there's a two-week incubation period and people who carry the virus might not even get any of the symptoms, but they could still pass it on to others. So this thing by mid-February, it might be hundreds of thousands of people that are infected. We don't know at this point. That's the scary thing here, you know?
That is really scary. And that is something that, and by the way, if that person was speaking purely of mathematics, it's the whatever required power for that. So, but when it comes to this potential for it to be a bioweapon, seeing a growth arc for the weapon would be something that would be a fingerprint that would give it away. So in other words, if it is such that people catch it when it's first spreading, people catch it rather quickly and there are signs rather quickly, but then there is a predictable mutation that then the time during which you are infectious but not showing symptoms increases. Yeah. That would be indicative of the fingerprint of a bioweapon, because that would be most useful to a government to have a disease grow like that in a population.
Yeah, Shroom continues here. It gives another diamond. Thank you. And he says, to reach 10 billion is 25 generations or 26 times 2 WK. Is that weeks? Is that what you mean? Sorry, I'm not familiar with the math lingo here. So, you're the expert, Shroom, here, not me. But you're talking obviously about if this would like spread worldwide, I assume. About 10 billion. It's 25 generations. Interesting. Yeah. I know that there's mutations of this thing as well. And so, you know, even if you have had developed antibodies for one version of it, it could mutate as it jumped from human to human, or I guess from animal to human. And then you have a whole other set of problems on your hand. Again, this issue is a giveaway to me is the fact that they were like experimenting on coronavirus mutations. Last week, we covered that event 201 was a previous exercise by the World Health Organization as well, where they actually used coronavirus as one of the culprits to do like a test, essentially. How would different countries mobilize? What would the media coverage been like and stuff like that? And well, I'll move along here, guys. We cover this, we can get to the rest of the news. Thank you, Latrun. I appreciate that. The Real Mother Hen sends a diamond again, says Brexit just happened. Yeah, that's right. Congratulations, by the way. We missed about 26 minutes or so, but congratulations once again. It's official now, we should say. Thank you for the reminder. Mark Boggs sends a diamond. Thank you, Nigel Farage. Indeed, he did good work. Nordic Prince, a diamond. Can we make it out to be a white problem? I don't know if you're talking about the Brexit problem or the coronavirus problem, but they probably will. Somehow the other one, they will, I'm sure. Herovarch sends another diamond and says, crisis predicted 1975. He sends a link. I'll have to check that later. Thank you. I'll save that and I'll check it later. Herovarch sends another diamond. Sorry, this is the link, he says. Okay, so I'll update that. Let me copy that over. If we have time later, I'll pull that up. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let me open that in a window real quick. Nordic Prince sends another diamond, says 257 bombings in Sweden last year. Wow, yeah, I commented on that on Twitter. They're investigating, but they don't know what's causing it. They're inviting experts to figure it out. Quebec 01, a diamond, no message. Thank you, Head of Art and a Ninja Genie. Thank you, sir. Survivors, 1975 British TV post-apocalyptic pandemic sci-fi. Virus released by Chinese scientists. Ah, okay, that's what you're showing. Let me pull that up real quick. Now, I never saw this. I remember Michael Tesserion was one of the guys talking about this, Survivors, 1975. Interesting. Sometimes they do those little predictive programming things, as they call it. We've had a lot of pandemic movies, of course, over the years, too. Contagion, Outbreak, you know, all these kinds of things. So who knows how much that's influencing people of the perception of what should happen, technically, right? Interesting. I'll check. I've never seen the series. I'll definitely take a look at it, see if there's a version on YouTube or something. Thank you, Hervod, for that. The Real Mother Hen sends a diamond. Another one. Thank you. Have you seen how they are scanning at airports? Yeah, I saw that was very lazy, not very efficient. And as I said before, some people literally took medicine to bring down their temperature so they could pass anyway, right? So if they really were dedicated about getting out, they could. Real Mother Hen sends another diamond, says made at home products are best products. I agree. Shroon sent another diamond. It says, virus math, resistance is futile. Okay, that's what he means by that. Like, doesn't right. matter what you do, you're gonna get it, right? All right, interesting. And Shmuel Goldschlong sends a diamond. We Jews just over Chinese cuisines. Juiced over Chinese cuisine. Yeah, maybe they do, huh? We'll see about that. All right, two more here on Donor Box 2. Glenn, the Chinaman. Thank you, Glenn. Hope you're doing... I know you're in Oz, so hope you stay safe. I saw a lot of cases there, though, in Oz. But he says, Israel has shut down all incoming flights from China. But of course, we Goyim can't do that. That's right. No. They have a very, very tight security there on their border, for sure. Thank you, Glenn, as well. Brad, Grandpa sends a big donation, $50. Thank you, sir. Always such a big supporter. Hope you're doing well, man. It's great to hear from you again. He says, Freedom Shekels, I think we need to add bat soup to the list of never, ever. No bugs, no bat soup, no pods, no gay global dance party. That's right. No, the gay disco won't be having any effect here. All right, guys. Let's get back in the order here, because otherwise we'll never go through some of this. And I wanted to show, just on the issue of the economic question regarding this, right? Goldman Sachs asked in biotech research report, is curing patients a sustainable business model? Right? It's just to show you like what kind of mentality that we are dealing with here. And I saw it from Orwell and Good, by the way. He said neoliberalism.jpg. And at first I was like, that can't be real. So I searched for it. And I was like, yep, it's real. CNBC Markets reported on this. This is back like last year or something like that. Mm. But it is true. I mean, if you can't continue to milk people being dependent on the biomedical system and the big pharma and stuff like that, it's not really economically smart, I would assume, for them to do that.
The thing is, for us, for our biosphere, we seek to end people's suffering, and that's the curing of disease. Right. It would not occur to a healthy Westman to say, let's keep them ill, let's not allow this cure to reach the public, so that we can just treat them from here to the end of their days, however long that might be. I mean, it's just that totally different group of people that think that way. Maybe several groups think that way, but it's alien to our people. And if it were seen in our midst, all eyes would turn on that person with condemnation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different mentality, right? Again, just this idea that you're just for the bottom line able to or willing to look at something like that and say, what do we do for the, how do we make more money on this? How do we take advantage of people? It's unbelievable. Now, when I was in on CNBC, I saw as well the Dow plummets 600 points in worst day since August as coronavirus fears grow. So again, this is starting to hit the economic side of things now, which makes me assume that they will start downplaying it much more. Oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. Sure, go on. You travel. It's fine. Don't worry about it, right? So
Eat the bat.
That's right. Now, don't know if it's true. Someone tweeted about this. Saw it on Poseidon's live stream earlier. Shout out to Poseidon, by the way. He did a great stream earlier. He just showed a lot of clips and stuff up to date, and he showed this tweet, and I decided to bring this in too. He said, or there's someone saying, information regarding coronavirus. I just got off the phone to a mate who works in customs at Sydney Airport. He said there is a huge influx of Chinese fleeing to Australia. Airlines are increasing their flights. Flights come here full and go back empty to pick up more, he says. I wouldn't put it past them. A lot of cases have broken out in Australia, maybe for this reason.
Yeah, precisely. And that's the precisely the kind of thing that we have to really focus on when it comes to something like this, is that if this is not the real deadly pandemic that will hit the world, that everyone will have, it'd be impossible for anyone to forget. Everyone will always remember. There will be one, and it will start in a place like India or China or in a community of these people, even in the West. And can you imagine something like a coronavirus, but it is much deadlier. It is, you get infected, you show no symptoms for 4 weeks, and you're spreading it. And then when it hits, it is something like Ebola, and you're bleeding out of every orifice and you're dying. You'll have all of that population of China, all of that population of India flooding out. There won't be any control. They're going to open the doors so that the sick can leave, so that they can save their countries. And what are the anti-whites going to do in our countries? They're going to open the doors. And why are they going to, you know, they point to this poem on this statue that has nothing to do with the statue, nothing to do with the country of the United States, nothing to do with the sentiment across Western civilization about what kind of people we want to be, what kind of history and nations we want to hand down to our progeny. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with crippling us. Give us your sick. Give us your infected. Yeah. Give us your every disease. Give us those who eat the bats. And here's the reason why. A lot of these anti-whites, on top of the fact that they have nothing but an intense desire to inflict harm on Western kind and Western civilization, on top of that, they also have this inability to perceive the threat to themselves. They think that they're somehow going to hide. And I told a story a couple of weeks ago, I think on a Going Free, where I was in a conversation with an anti-white guy a long time ago. And we were talking about the brown, black, yellow, non-white people coming in and statistically higher rates of crime, or maybe that's true or not, who knows. But he's looking at the data and he says, yes, true, but what is the likelihood that it's going to be somebody you care about?
Right.
And I felt like punching all the teeth out of his mouth, because it's going to be somebody's daughter. It's going to be somebody's son who's going to be gang raped, who's going to be ruined. Now, this guy even had a daughter, white guy even had a daughter. And this is what's going through their mind when they say throw the door open, when the bigger pandemics of the future land and the millions leave China, the millions leave India, and they say throw open the door. Part of the reason why they're able to be so brazen, so nonchalant or blasé about it is because what are the odds that it's really going to be my family that gets this horrible disease? It'll just be your family. That's why these people are such a danger to our existence. And we need to reclaim our destiny, because if we don't, they're going to be making decisions for us and they'll be throwing the door open because they're saying, well, it's going to harm you. Odds that it'll harm me are zero. And so we'll just let it happen. And then, of course, they'll get it. We'll get it. We can't let that happen.
That's true. That's right. Unbelievable. You know, and so to continue that too, regarding, go back to it here, regarding kind of blaming, turning a racial issue, jumbling this in here with the coronavirus, CNN did a tweet where they're saying that Coronavirus Task Force, another example of Trump administration's lack of diversity. There was a couple of funny replies to this because it was like Mark Dye said, darn white people trying to find a cure again. You know, it's like it's like you can't even. This is literally like, you know, it doesn't matter, right? This is the thing. You can literally be working for like trying to solve issues around the world or helping people out. What will they get stuck up on? They will stuck up on diversity. Needs to be more non-white people among your health, you know, task force here. It's just, what the hell does this got to do with anything, you know?
Nothing whatsoever. I have an idea. Let's let them have all of these disease-ridden places, and they can find the cures, and they can build the bridges and the hospitals. I'm sure in China, they're building them out of the Chinese. That's how they're going to put them up so quickly.
Yeah.
I've never heard of concrete curing that rapidly, and I'm sure these places are going to be multiple stories. But yeah, they don't have enough. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. It's the diversity. You have to have diversity. You don't have competence. You don't have people who can get the job done.
That's right.
That's why everything falls apart in Western civilization. They want more. They want, and again, diversity means fewer white people. So let's always talk about it from our perspective. They want fewer white people. They want the white people who are there fired, even if the cure to coronavirus is in one of their heads.
Yeah. Amazing. We don't have to read that one, but I just wanted to, this is like typical CNN, the headlines. Now check out this one too. It's also been making the rounds from ASAP Science. Ricardo Duchesne says here, this is for real, guys. This psychotic global homo exists, and he wants you to know it is racist to criticize Chinese torture of dogs and cats for culinary enhancement. He learned this in environmental studies. 30 million dogs are eaten in Asia yearly. Now, this is the response here then from ASAP Science.
We live in Toronto, where the SARS virus got world-scale attention. That's because the only people who died outside of Asia from that virus were in Canada, and most of them were in Toronto. With only 44 people dying in total in Canada, it had a huge impact on our city. We lost a lot of tourism, we lost millions of dollars, but most importantly, we saw a lot of stigma and racism towards Chinese people. It's important that we do not repeat those racist notions that happened here in Toronto, and we all need to be aware of this when we talk about the current coronavirus. On our social media channels, we have seen lots of people saying things like, this always happens in China, and relating it a lot to the types of foods that Chinese people eat. But it's important to remember that Western food practices are what created mad cow disease, and also Western meat consumption created a big issue
What about isms? Let's bring that in. Like, you know, you guys are the bad ones. This is, of course, no surprise, but oh my God. Yeah.
Well, once again, just demonstrating quite clearly that this individual is motivated by anti-whiteism, not about being fair to anyone. He just wants to get to the you're at fault, white man, white woman, white child, and so you have to pay for it with every single argument they make. And this guy, you know, with the tiny little wings that are on his back, he can just flutter his way across the Pacific and live in China rather than Canada or the United States, where they have to deal with people who are going to care about white people. Just go live there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Go live in diversity then. You see how diverse the Han Chinese really is. You can be an ethnic minority, see how you like it. But the thing is, there's always this spin on it, right? That you need to, again, it's almost part of this thing that they want us to attract these viruses. They want it to be contagious. They want it to just run literally like a chicken without our head, just right into a situation and not think. Just they want you to, how do I explain it? They want you to risk your life and potentially die just to avoid you hurting someone else's feelings, right? That's what it is. It's the same thing with, like, let's say you're walking late at night, you're seeing a gang of non-whites on further down on the street or something, and like your instinct tells you, I should probably go over on the other street or take another route or something, you know, but whatever, you know, you pick up on those things. You see this could end badly or whatever. They want you to. But then, no, that could offend them for whatever. They don't know why you're crossing. Maybe you're taking another route. Who knows, right? But instead of offending them, potentially offending them, which I don't think that would happen anyway, they want you to potentially put yourself in a situation where you could be robbed and beaten and maybe even killed or raped or something, just not to hurt these people's feelings. In other words, they want to breed out of us the most fundamental human instincts that we have, survival, right?
Yeah, precisely. I couldn't agree more. And it's just another set of pretexts to get you to go into the lion's mouth and die.
Yeah.
They just want more harm to be inflicted on Western kind. And the sooner we regain our destiny, recapture our destiny from these people, the better, because these sorts of diseases, pandemics, are going to become, as they've been shown, graft to become
more common,
frequent,
yeah,
and increasingly deadly, which is makes perfect sense with the number of people on the planet. If we are not in control of our destiny, these anti-whites like this scumbag right here, who's probably, I don't even want to say what he's probably doing in the midst of making that video, but he's going to be deciding, they're going to be deciding that the doors are going to be thrown open to the 10 million Chinese or Indians or whatever with whatever. And it will be wrong for you to, but of course, he's not going to want to live with them. He's still going to be
safe somewhere. Of course,
he's going to be scared to death. Of what they might be carrying. But as long as they go live in Mayberry with you and infect you and your children, well, then it's fine.
It's amazing.
But it's down to a life or death issue, and we're going to have to decide which ones live.
Well, exactly. That's just it. I mean, either we look out for ourselves first and what's good for us. And again, that's not they always try to spin it so that what's the word I'm looking for? But it's always on the expense of other people or something like that. And it's like, no, it's not. They look after themselves and do what's best for them first, and we do the same for us. That way, we're all taken care of. We don't have to run around and try to fix everyone else's situations or problems or issues. And, you know, I don't know. It's just such a dumb dynamic. But again, it's all tilted in the direction that, like, as you say, whatever makes you lose, whatever makes us, lose territory, resources, that we don't have the moral courage to stand up for ourselves and stuff like that. You know, they always see that as a battle if they can win against us and our inability to just do what's natural and what's right for us, right? Anyway, mm-hmm. Let's play the last few seconds of this here, see what he says at the end.
Antibiotic resistance. We need to listen to and trust public health professionals, and we need to not overreact, and we need to not use this as an excuse to be racist.
See, and that's what I'm coming back at this. Trust the authorities, just shut up, take the vaccine. You know, again, whether this is a bioengineered thing or it got out of accident and now they're just kind of play ball with it or whatever, trying to actually contain it. The fact that there were so much issues, but it was being spun in this way. Oh, it's racism. Look at this Vice headline here. Racism and disease, how pathogen privilege is keeping the coronavirus out of Africa. So we haven't had any cases of coronaviruses in Africa yet, right? Probably because too many people are not traveling back and forth from China to there or whatever. I know that there's a lot of workers in Chinese workers and stuff in Africa.
Right.
But again, the spin is, this is it. Oh my God, they should have been infected on an equal basis as the rest of the world. It shows its inequity. Yeah. Right? It's like...
Yeah. Not enough people are traveling to and from Africa for leisure and... travel, etc. Why not? I wonder. What is it about Africa? What makes it different?
They just don't have the money. They need more money. Give up your That's money, right. and That's then we'll fix it. UC Berkeley warned student that a common reaction to coronavirus is racism and xenophobia.
Yep,
these are actual things, ladies and gentlemen. Common reaction. This is an Instagram post by UC Berkeley. Mm. Xenophobia, fears about interacting with those who might be from Asia, and guilt about those feelings. So even having guilt about the fact that you were reacting in that way is now a common reaction to this virus. It's part of the disease, Jason. Part of the symptoms of the disease is the
It's worse. It's worse than coronavirus to want to protect yourself. If you're a white person, it's worse than coronavirus if you want to protect yourself from coronavirus if a non-white person has it. Now, if white people have the disease, then you can certainly lock them up or feed them to wood chippers or whatever it is. But if a non-white person has it and you don't want to eat the virus, then you're a heretic and you're evil, and that's worse than spreading coronavirus, even if it means that people die as a consequence.
What could be a symbol more of a sick society where they actually are trying to what's the word I'm looking for? They're making acceptable, taboo, remove the taboo around diseases. In some cases, they might literally kill you. Like they're doing this with HIV, AIDS. There's other things where like, oh, you can't be a bigot. You have to like have sex with this person, although they have HIV. You know, they're trying like every single angle that they can to break us down. It's a war tactic. It's warfare against us.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately, isn't that where the arguments of anti-whiteism lead? I mean, if they say that, well, the child who has one parent can't be exposed to the symbolism or photographs or what have you of the child who has two parents, because they're going to feel like they somehow have been deprived. Then isn't the person who has the whatever disease being deprived by those around them not also having the disease? I mean, this is a logical consequence of this suicidal ideology, pathology that anti-whiteism is, that we absolutely have to break free from. And in our story, I tell you this, brothers and sisters, in our story, we absolutely prevent infected masses from coming into our midst. And it is a heroic thing to do to stop that from happening. There's nothing immoral whatsoever to protect yourself, your family, and our people, and therefore circulating right back around to who you are, because your security and welfare comes from the security and welfare of our people. There's absolutely nothing immoral about that. It is supreme morality to protect people, innocent people, from getting this disease. And if this were reversed, if somehow this idiot with his lips pursed together like he's getting ready to kiss the ass of some wealthy anti-white that we just did a clip of, if somehow mad cow disease was not something that affected you later in life in the form of like Alzheimer's, like I guess symptoms, but something that could be immediately spread and kill you this quickly, he would absolutely agree with the non-white countries shutting their borders down and preventing white people from getting in.
Of course,
you know this anti-white bastard would. He would be out in front of you with his little praying little hand, tiny little hands that he has there, little glove man, little hands man, and look at him, this guy. He would absolutely say, no, it makes perfect sense. Because remember, you all were responsible for mad cow disease.
Yeah. The Indians, you know, Native Americans, right? It's all you guys, right? It's all you guys did this. Don't blame China now. Don't blame the Chinese. Although, again, this might be literally their own doing because of these markets that they have with all these animals and stuff. I mean, again, it's like, and it's, that makes them devoid of responsibility. Again, if it's a bioweapon, sure, it's a little bit different, but it might not be. It might be natural. And then it's because of bad decisions like that. Check this out, though. The Daily Dot. Far-right trolls use coronavirus meme to spread subtle anti-Chinese racism. It's as I say, far-right Twitter and 4chan users have found a new meme amid the coronavirus outbreak. 4chan and users are photoshopping hazmat suits onto everyone from Pepe the Frog to Alex Jones in response to coronavirus, a disease that is believed to have originated in the now quarantined Wuhan, China. On Twitter, users are doing the same thing and with their own avatars. Twitter user Eyes on the Right posted a compilation of several far-right figureheads with hazmat suits photoshopped onto their avatars and refer to the act as racist. Why? That's not at all what it says. I mean, whatever. It's like, I did that too on mine. Not with the hazmat suit. I just did a mouth thing. But it's like, watch out, right? There was like, I don't care that they call me a racist or whatever. I don't care. But it's like, it's the idea that it's like, again, trying to protect, like, making light of it too, I guess, a little bit. But that you're in a position where you're protective. We're literally like, We gotta shield ourselves in some way. We have to separate ourselves from that over there, which is disease-ridden, which is like objectively true right now. Right, there's a massive outbreak. Yes. It could spread. Could get worse. Are you trying to say you don't want the virus? You don't want the disease? You bigot? Like, suck it down and shut up. That's what they want us to. What wants to do?
Oh, cross eyes on the right. Not a surprise it would come from him.
The Daily, exactly. The Daily Dot, too. That's a real shitty outlet. Wired, we should de-escalate the war on the coronavirus. Fear, finger pointing, and militaristic action against the virus are unproductive. We may be better off adjusting to a new normal of periodic outbreaks.
There it is, Henrik.
Yep.
There it is. That's exactly what you were talking about, and I alluded to slightly as well. This is your new normal, white man, white woman, and you better say you like it, because if you don't like your new normal, that means you're a heretic, you're evil, where you're going to get fired from your job, you're going to be exorcised from your community, not just ousted from your community. Yeah, this has got to be your new normal, and you better accept it. But guaranteed, again, like we were just saying, if this were reversed, if this started in one of our countries by white people, if that started by us, then it would be perfectly natural and normal to quarantine us, to execute us, to prevent us from flying to these countries, to prevent us from showing up, to not do business with us until the pandemic was cured by, mass incineration of our people or whatever it is. Guaranteed. This is just more evidence. And this is what's important for all of the listeners of Red Ice when you're talking to your friends, family, and strangers, because the one thing you all have to be doing is spreading Going Free, spreading white well-being. So you have to talk about what's happening with the coronavirus with the intent of spreading white well-being to those people you speak with. And that is this, these double standards that everyone knows would indeed be the case. And this headline right here that Henrik absolutely brilliantly has identified and brought for you all to see is going to empower you to be able to do that, because this is your new normal. This is what the anti-whites say now. Don't like the disease, you are a heretic and you need to be fired from your job.
Yeah, take the disease, get used to this just being part of your reality. It's an upside of globalism, of no borders, of travel, of no checks, of no nothing. Yeah, sure, a few million of people will die here and there maybe or something, right? But that's fine. We're willing to take that. We're willing to take the potential mass killing of, and again, not only people of European descent, everybody who gets, get infected by something like this. We're willing to take that risk just so we can keep our liberal no borders world and the goods and everything flowing freely and stuff. It's like, it's fine. I do believe, though, no matter how you twist and turn this thing, that nature will let us know when it's like when we've gone too far. Nature will set the rules. It will say, no, this doesn't work. It might not be on that conscious level, but I'm just saying, it doesn't matter what we do, or if we think we can be 20 billion on the planet one day or something. I mean, there is a maximum point. It's just not going to go any further. Either we can't feed our own, and which causes a colony collapse, or it will be some kind of disease that takes us out. I think we're at a point right now where we've never been so many people on the planet. This is an anomaly, and I don't frankly know how this is going to continue to be sustained. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is not the big one. Something, as you said, is going to show up that's going to knock us back in place, essentially. Yeah. That's what I think.
Without question.
All right. One more here on the coronavirus, and then we'll see if maybe we can squeeze in a couple of more here before we wrap up here in a few minutes. We've gone almost for 2 hours here, guys. Thank you for staying with us. Great having you all here. People are Googling corona beer virus. I mean, spread of coronavirus. I know that corona beer bottle has become kind of a meme in this or whatever, but I thought that it could be fun to, I guess, end on some of the stupidity running this too. Confusion in researching information on the deadly virus. People ostensibly seem to believe that the Mexican beer may have something to do with the deadly virus originating from China. According to Business Insider, trends indicate a spike in Google searches for corona beer virus or beer virus. And also beer coronavirus, which have all staggeringly increased since January 18th, which have been recorded by Google Trends. Google Trends show that between January 18th and January 26th, searches for corona beer virus soared 2,300% globally, indicating some confusion in prospective amateur researchers on the virus. Google searches for beer virus increased 744% in the same period. Searches for beer coronavirus leaped 3,233%. There you go.
Absolutely retarded population. And so many people being able to live off the genius of others. That there are people who seriously immediately got on their phones, tablets, and desktops and started searching for the virus.
What is the thing with the beer? Sometimes I'm like, Is this the big one? Maybe it's for the best.
This is gonna be the end. This is how it ends.
This is how it ends.
Corona bottle.
Oh man, it's amazing. All right. So anyway, be careful out there, friends. This clip I thought we could end on. It's very, very good clip. As we're squeezing a couple more here, we can go for another five, Jason, if you have the time here. But again, just closing thoughts on coronavirus. Observe. Get an FFP3 mask. You might want to invest in that now. N95 masks, I guess they work a little bit worse. By worst case scenario, they do work. Gloves, glasses. Don't touch your face, mouth, nose, eyes, mouth. Wash your hands thoroughly. Make sure that you're not in contact with people who fly in and out of these areas and minimize your exposure. It's in most Western countries now, and that means it could spread rapidly. And we don't even know because it's too weeks into incubation period. So it means we might be here in mid-February with millions of confirmed cases, for all we know, Jason. So
yeah, precisely. Yeah, we just don't know. And just quickly to your point, it could be not something that was engineered from its origin to where it is today, but something that did come out of a zoonotic process, so that it was eating this sort of thing. They identified it and then they brought it into the labs and have made it into something much more deadly.
Yeah, exactly.
So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be an intentional thing. We don't know. But okay, folks, we'll wrap up on the coronavirus portion right there. And we'll switch over to this one. It is Bill Maher. Is it Mayer? I always forget how you pronounce his name. Bill Maher talking about whether it was better in the past or better now with all our diversity and, you know, terrorism and those kinds of things, right? It's kind of a hard call.
No.
Because it was so white, and that's disgusting, right? It used to be white in our countries, and that's bad. All right, listen to this. I want to get your take on this, Jason.
But it just reminded me that here I'm a kid who had, I think, a normal middle class upbringing. I consider it an idyllic time. I consider it an innocence you couldn't buy today. I mean, first of all, I grew up in New Jersey in the 60s. There was no racial issues because there was only one race in town. That's just the way it was. I'm not saying that.
Can you catch that, folks? Now, he brilliantly solved racism in a sentence right there. He solved racism right there. Listen to that again.
In the 60s, there was no racial issues. Because there was only one race in town. That's just the way it was. I'm not saying that's good. It wasn't. But
exactly. That's not good. It's not good not to have racial issues. We got to have a lot of racial issues. That's good. Right? We got to have a lot of conflict between different races. We got to have a lot of issues where there's constantly racism at the forefront, because that's good.
That's just the way it was. I'm not saying that's
good. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I just know. Please. Could continue to. I mean, it's hilarious that he caught himself.
Yep.
He was speaking the truth there.
Yep.
He was saying, well, there weren't any racial issues because there was one race. Oh, well, that's not good, by the way.
That's dangerous. That's Nazism, ethnostate.
There was no racial issues because there was only one race in town. That's just the way it was. I'm not saying that's good. It wasn't, but that's so.
It wasn't.
There weren't racial issues. There weren't drug issues. I didn't try pot in high school.
His beer was
maybe there was.
Go ahead.
A moment ago, when he accidentally said that,
yeah.
He didn't try pot, so he wasn't exposed to drugs, didn't have terrorism, didn't have racial issues, didn't. I guess in his school they weren't being discriminated against as our people are now. They were not being encouraged into suicide by hating our people. So it was evidently much worse back then.
And evidently, too, since he's Jewish, I guess he had no issues with anti-Semitism either then, right? He hasn't said anything about that. He had a good upbringing ever because everyone was white. Anyway,
yeah.
let's listen to the rest of the series.
There weren't drug issues. I didn't try pot in high school. Maybe there was a rumor that a few kids were doing it, but that wasn't even a thing. There wasn't even any, like, divorce. It was really the land that time forgot. You know, it was Leave It to Beaver land.
Horrible.
That's how I was raised.
I was raised too.
Came home from school, fly into the house, change into my play clothes, fly out the door. My mother never said, where are you going? What are you doing? Yeah. And, you know.
You were gone. Yeah.
And again, in Leave It to Beaver town, there was a 6 o'clock whistle.
Really?
Yeah, at the firehouse. The whistle went off.
Time for dinner?
And then you, right. And then you got your ass home when you heard the whistle. We didn't have watches or phones or, you know.
Oh my God.
I don't want to compare. It's a different world for sure between the way we grew up and the way they're growing up today. I don't know what's better.
That's right. I can you believe that?
Brain dead? Is that actually brain dead?
Yes.
What's better?
Nope.
He knows what side of the bread is buttered. That's what he knows. He doesn't know which is better. Well, he better say now is better because he'll lose this everything he's got going on. And so will this guy. He's genetically Jewish, but he grew up in a Catholic family or whatever it is.
Right, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our guy. Good Lord. They're talking about a reality. I can't believe that they were so laid back. Maybe they got high before they did the show.
They must have. But it's an amazing admission.
Yeah.
But it also encapsulates this issue that the fact that they've outlined everything that proves that the way it used to be is much, it was healthier, it was safer, there was no issues, there was no racism, there was no, you know, nothing. But it's still at the end, after outlining all those things, at the end of that, they still have to say, but it must be better now, right? It must be. We can't sit here and say that it was better in the past, because that would make us some far right, you know, alt right Nazi traditionalists or something, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You would absolutely be a heretic if you. And I am actually amazed. Now, I would look for both of these losers, anti-white losers, to, in the ensuing weeks since this was recorded, to record some more vehemently anti-white stuff. Because, I mean, Marr tried there to say, well, it was the land that time forgot, to disparage everything being wonderful and safe, no issues, no drugs, no divorce. What a world. Who would want to live there when you can now live in this world where everybody's committing suicide, covering themselves head to toe in tattoos to escape their white flesh, using all manner of drugs to white flight away from being white, dating other races to white flight away from being white, producing non-white children, biological white erasure. Well, it's so much better today.
Absolutely.
Absolutely ridiculous. And I can't believe that these two, I don't know how many people ended up hearing this, but I hope it goes around the world many times. The anti-whites revealing this sort of thing, and it happens every now and again. They get it on video.
Yeah,
they
slip up. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, because there's no escaping it. Here they are saying, well, it's got to be better now. Just like,
yeah, you, I don't know what's better. Growing up now, right? It's got to be better now. Right?
You can all get issues. Coronavirus now. You can get blown up. You can get run through with a scimitar. Think about when they were kids.
Gang rape by Asian gangs. I mean, there's a lot of upsides to all of this.
There was no likelihood at all that you were like trading like baseball cards.
You couldn't get tacos. I mean, let's be honest about that. You couldn't get tacos. You know, you couldn't get pizza. Oh, you couldn't get Lebanese, you know, chicken or something, or Moroccan chicken. You could, you know, it's yeah.
Well, there was this was many years ago, very briefly, there was a little town in the Midwest somewhere, I think, that was 100% white. And I think this MTV channel went there and they said, what's 100% white? Isn't it awful? And then all of the white kids, of course, they wanted to be on TV. And they said, yes, it's so awful. It's so boring here. Nothing ever happens here. It's so boring. And then, of course, the government and these NGOs moved non-white people into this community. And I don't know what it was about these particular doctors, engineers, and geniuses. But suddenly there were rapes. Suddenly there were murders and everything. I think it was 10 years later, this white positive organization showed the data from now and then 10 years prior before they were moved in. And now you see how exciting it is. I wonder about, everybody wondered about the little white girl with the blonde hair, 11th grade or whatever she was, and she said it was so boring there. I wonder how interesting it became for her.
Yeah.
I mean, did she get something as interesting as rape or murder, or maybe her child raped or murdered? I mean, life changes in so many interesting ways when it becomes anti-white.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Remember that clip, guys, because it's such a admission and a slip up. But as you said, we get those quite frequently. And then also our enemies have painted it. They've painted us so far into the corners with name calling and accusations that although you can be consciously aware of all the things that, you know, are beneficial to the way that we argue that things should be run, that everyone should have their own nation, all groups should have the control of their own destiny. They should have their own country, their own territory, whatever you want to call it. And you can still have trade. You can still travel. Have tourism. It's not that, you know. It's not built on the hatred of others, right? But you have concern for your own and where this is going in the future, because as we've seen, the trends show this is not developing very, very good. And if we are going to be turned into minorities in our own countries, we will be hated and hunted, resented minorities in our own countries. And no one wants that. No one wants that type of conflict. They do, maybe, to be honest, but we don't.
Precisely.
All right. Actually, let me squeeze this one in, last thing, too. I'll get your take on this. Elizabeth Warren proposes criminal penalties for spreading disinformation online. Now, this is a big story, of course. We could talk a lot about this, but she released a plan Wednesday to fight disinformation, to hold tech companies accountable for their actions in light of the 2016 election. Warren proposed to combat disinformation by holding big tech companies like Facebook, Twitter, Google responsible for their actions. I just love when these people show up and they're going to tell us, Jason, what is truth, what is lies, what is good information, what is disinformation. And you know that if they if she ever rammed something like this through, you know that they would set the rules for this thing, right? They would decide what is, you know, these are the kind of people who cannot, it's very difficult for them to understand that, like, well, just because you have someone saying something or even a news agency saying something, that doesn't make it so. You can even have scientific studies that supposedly proves one thing 100%, and then you have another study that says completely the opposite the next year or next month or something, right? Yeah. This idea that an objective truth is not as easily defined as they think they are, but we know the reason why they're doing it, right? They're doing it so that they can stop actual truthful information from getting out online. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, precisely. I mean, you just hit the nail right on the head, as always. Brilliantly, brother. They want to silence us by any means necessary. And, of course, within, I guess, the purview of whatever laws they can pass, but also by whatever means the public will accept. And that's where their real opposition is from. So they don't want us talking about the things that expose and undermine their anti-white objectives, the ability for them to inflict harm on us. So it doesn't matter whether we're white, we're black, or whatever race you are. If you're speaking anything that undermines their ability to inflict harm on Western kind and Western civilization, they want to be able to cut the tongue out of your mouth, just not the tongue from the bottom of your mouth. So... So yeah, this is you're exactly right. This is what this is all about. It's censorship. What they have done to you and Lana, and what they have done to me and Jared George and so many others. And once again, folks, please support these great people and the work that they're doing, because it is monsters like this Warren here. And despite the fact that she tries to pretend like she's anti or like she's non-white, she is viciously anti-white, and they will sacrifice her when the time comes as well. Yeah. To her, they're not going to be building any statues to her. She doesn't get it. She's getting a thrill out of harming good people like the folks who put this wonderful show on for you and all of these other videos they do. So please support them and all the hard work that they're doing.
Thank you so much. And we'll plug some of your stuff here in a moment. I just want to cover the last few super chat here too, and then we'll start wrapping up here. This she says as well, I will push for new laws that impose tough civil and criminal penalties for knowingly disseminating this kind of information, which has the explicit purpose of undermining the basic right to vote, Warren said. Now, do you think they will do this about, like, let's say, the Russia hoax that they pushed for years now in the media? For 3 years straight, they pushed nonsense and garbage and like, can you imagine if, you know, they had this issue where, like, three strikes and you're out, they used to do on YouTube, right? If you, not only, like, if you did something, you know, that was wrong or whatever. I've actually seen people gotten strikes for misleading information. That's actually a punishable thing on YouTube and some other places as well. Can you imagine the mainstream media living up to the same, living under the same standards that the rest of us does, right? The weapons of mass destruction, how they sold us, the lie of the Iraq war. I mean, there's so many things we could bring up here, you know, babies in incubators, this whole lie. Will they be held accountable? No, it's simply to silence the little guy that has now, for the first time in history, an ability to reach people and have their say. That's too bad for them. They can't have that. Can't have it.
No, you're absolutely right.
No dissent. No dissent, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to start wrapping up here, but I'm going to plug some of your stuff too. Let me just quickly go through the super chats here, guys, right at the end. Shmuel Goldschlong, he sent another couple of ones just to clarify. I guess he says, I meant to say, regarding the previous about the Chinese cuisine, he says, I meant to say we Amish just love Chinese cuisine. All that crawls and creeps, it's just so kosher. Well, thank you, Shmuel. I appreciate that. Real Mother Hen again, thank you for all your support today. Very generous of you. She sends another diamond. And says, how does this change the refugee influx? Now, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's related to Brexit. It could be. Might be to the virus, or is it the Brexit, maybe you're meaning? I don't think it's going to have too much of an impact. Unfortunately, because of Boris Johnson, I think not much is going to change. If you're referencing this to Brexit, And we kind of covered it before. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it will change for Britain?
No, I concur with you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Shroon sent another diamond. He says 97% will survive and they will then be immune. Yeah, I mean, that's the basic idea, right? Well, I mean, 3% of the population, how many are we now? 9 billion?
I don't know exactly.
Let's say 10 billion for rounded up, 10 billion. So that's 1% a million, right? Or no, that's is 1 billion, is that 1,000 million or is it 100 million?
That's a good question.
I think it's 1,000 million, isn't it? 1 billion. Anyway, that would be, okay, lower end of that, that would be 3%. So that would be 3, that could be, what, 30 million? It's got to be more than that even, actually. But again, although that's a tiny minority, 3%, that would, can you imagine a disease that took out 30 million people? Or say, if I'm getting the billion to million ratio wrong, it'd be 300 million.
That's right.
People, right? Yeah. Can you imagine? That would be quite a bit of a, that would be a kind of a story, I would assume, right? So,
that would be a story.
But that's how it works, Sherman. I mean, you're right. It's like, majority of people will be immune unless there's some weird mutagen that happens and it continues to evolve or something like that. Yes. Anyway, thank you for your support, Shroon, for all the diamonds. You've been very generous today. Thank you. Carbon One sends a diamond, no message. Nordic Prince, a diamond. He says, most of these newer folks are just soft puddings. So, thank you. Heavier than heaven, 88, I guess, sends a diamond, no message. Thank you. Appreciate that. Shroon, white pill, this is the big one, smallpox. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Shroon. Shmuel Goldschlong again sends a diamond. The Amish hate all of you. Now I've said my piece. Well, thank you. Carbon One, a diamond. No message. Nordic Prince, another diamond. I love Johnny Rebel music. So, hey, go check.
Yeah,
Johnny Rebel. Yeah, I've heard some of that, I think. Is it? I think I've heard some of that. Anyway, thank you for that, Nordic Prince. The Real Mother Hen sends another diamond. Shock up. Shock one up to the trads. Our world is better. Yeah, thank you, Mother Hen. And another message from her as well. Warren is crossing the line, controlling too much. Yeah, absolutely, I agree. I don't think she's going to get in, actually. Purist 777, a diamond, no message. Brad Gremba is over in the DLive chat as well. He sends 1, 2, 3 diamonds in a row. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate your support. Great supporter of the show, Brad. Nordic Prince sends another diamond. No hate speech, but we know, love the truth. Indeed. And Dookie Dog sends a diamond and says, great stream, guys. Well, thank you, everybody. I appreciate that. Jason, right here at the end, plug all of your stuff. Let people know where they can find you. Websites, Twitter, YouTube, all that good stuff. Please go ahead.
Well, if you just jump on over to nowhyguilt.org or theafterparty.tv, either of those, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to find everything. Of course, the No Why Guilt channel on YouTube. Watch Jared George's new video here on Red Ice. He and Henry work together. It's a magnificent piece. Do not miss it. Watch that. We have a For Null video coming up at 7:30, a premiere over on my channel. You'll catch it there. They have Tapped tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are going to be interviewing a Squatting Slob, Mr. George and I, and worldwide leafleting, No White Guilt leafleting. We have, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Indiana, Texas, Florida, New York, California, Australia, Canada, UK, Estonia, and Sweden.
Nice.
All of this happening organically. Yes, wow. Indeed. And, of course, your website is on there, Mark Collette's channel, Jared George's website, nice. My website. Happening all over the world the last week and days of the first month of this decade in which we are going to roar. It is splendid to have been able to spend this Flashback Friday with you, Henrik. You are a wonderful host. I will come back whenever you want, in whatever state my tongue is in. I love your I love your crowd. God bless you all.
Well, and thank you.
As soon as Henrik will have me back.
Well, thank you, Jason. I really appreciate it. Good job today, and thank you so much. And guys, make sure you check out nowhiteguilt.org, of course. Subscribe if you're not already over on the YouTube channel. You can follow him on Twitter. It's nowhiteguiltnwg on Twitter. And, of course, as you said, a lot of things coming up later today. So I do know I have to let you go here so you can have time to do that too. But thank you so much again for joining us, Jason. Great work. I'm going to open the chest here, and we'll say bye, everybody. Thank you, Jason, once again, for joining us.
Thank you, bro.
All right. We'll see you later. Take care, man.
Yep.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Opening the chest right there. Make sure you grab some of those lemon shekels if you want those. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back Sunday, of course, weekendwarriorredicemembers.com. Check that out if you're new to the show. if you haven't already. And as Jason said, of course, you can check out the latest video there as well. Let me pull this over here. That's actually the wrong one. Here we go. With the great order that we did on the word tale, the concept, what it comes from. Really good video. A lot of other new stuff this week as well. What happened to Canada? Lana did a 314 with some good shows of some good guys with the Plaid Army, they call themselves. Two guys joined her from that. Check out the Trump and Netanyahu Israel-Palestine peace deal expose that I did with Adam Green as well earlier in the week. But again, next up, Weekend Warrior. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Keep strong, keep positive, but be wary of all the lies out there, all the treacherous stuff. Take your own side, be proud of who you are, and there's nothing wrong with being white. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much, guys. Take care. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern. Here's the chest again, guys. Dig in. Here it goes. Sorry about that. It failed for some reason. Here we go. Weekend, they don't miss a single show. It's well-produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.